Praise the Lord for the gold that is so glorious.
Amen.
We come to the last day of the conference. And this morning we would like to spend some time to share in a corporate aspect some Revelations 2 and 3 on what the Lord desires His church to be.
Amen.
So let's all turn to Revelation chapter 2. And let's first read the verses concerning the church in Ephesus. Let's read from verses 1 to 7 together. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. Amen. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand,
who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen. The Lord is speaking to us corporately, and here is speaking to the church in Ephesus. Books of the seven churches in the books of Revelation 2 and 3, there's really a lot to cover, and we probably will need a conference just to do that. So for a purpose of our sake, we're not trying to cover in detail. We just won't have enough time, but we want to point out mainly in each of the church what the Lord loves and also what the Lord hates. Because this will really help us to see the important thing that the Lord wants us to see,
right,
so that we could really repent.
Amen.
And see what the Lord desires.
Yes.
So these seven epistles are records of the actual situation that exists at the time when the epistle was written. There were seven churches there in Galatia. But since this is a book of Revelation, it is also a book of signs with prophecy. And the situation of the seven churches, actually, it's prophesying the progress of the church corporately as God's people all throughout the centuries in seven stages. So we will see this as we go on. The first church, the church in Ephesus, this is a picture of the end of the initial church in the latter part of the first century. Right after the New Testament ended, and it continues. And here we see what the Lord loves. It says he loves their works, labor, and patience. And then he loves that they cannot bear those who are evil, and they tested false apostles. In the latter epistles, in John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, John began to warn that there will be false prophets that will come in to the church, deceiving people and drawing people after themselves. And Paul also talks about this in Timothy. And this is really has happened. And during that latter part of the first century, after all the apostles passed away, many people began to draw people after themselves. And so there was a need for the church there to test these people and found many of them to be evil. And the Lord really commends this. And the Lord also loves that they persevere and they labor for his name's sake. So this is the good part of the church in Ephesus. But the Lord says, I have one thing against you. Right? So this is very important because we need to see what the Lord hates. And it's because they left their first love. Right? So what is the first love? First love is not so much what comes first. First love here means the best love. That's why our song says, Jesus, Lord, you're our first love. You're the one we love the best, right? It's the quality of love that really matters here. Right? So unlike the first fruits, they were ripened first. The first love here is our best love. Right? We need to love the Lord with our best love. And the church in Ephesus have left this because they're so busy with their works, testing, they're trying to survive, persevere. They forgot that they needed to really love the Lord with their best. And so this is something that we all need to repent from. Today, many Christians are very busy with many works, you know, but they forget that the most important thing is we need to love the Lord with our best love. Yeah, because we are going to a wedding feast. And if there is no love, then no marriage. Right? So that's why the lampstand, the Lord says, I will even remove your lampstand because then you will no longer be my bride. Right? You love many other things. And so this is a very crucial point that John is pointing out here. I have one thing against you. There's a verse in Luke 15. I'll just read it to you. Verse 22 is speaking concerning the prodigal son. And it says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet. This best robe here, this word best, is the best love. This is what the Lord is seeking for. And when we come to the Lord, he gives us his very best. He gives us his only begotten son. Right? The Lord holds nothing back from us. But in the church life, often we give the Lord our leftovers. You know? And this is not good. That's why in Matthew it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things shall be added to you. But what we do is we want all these things to be added to us first, and then we will seek the kingdom. This is our backwards. This is losing the first love. We need to repent. The Lord is speaking to us corporately. We all need to be the church that loves the Lord with our best love. I'm moving on because of the sake of time. But here, another thing that the Lord points out is that the Lord loves about this church, but also points out what the Lord hates. There's actually another thing, but this is something that they did well. It says, they hate the works of the Nicolaitans, as the Lord also hates. Right? So this is important for us to point out. What is the works of the Nicolaitans? Right? In Greek, this word Nicolaitan has two parts. The first part is the word Nicol, which means conqueror or victorious. And then the second part is the word laity, which means the common people. So this refers to a group of people who esteem themselves much higher than the common believers. And this the Lord hates. And this is really important for us to see. In the church life, as we saw last night, we all have a measure. We all have a talent, at least one. We all need to share this talent for the building up of the church. None of us should bury our talent and just come and listen. This is why it's really important to build up the body of Christ. Because we are all members of this one body. And this is the enemy is attacking this right from the get-go. And so we need to learn to love what the Lord loves, our best love, and hate what the Lord hates. And the Lord's emotion is very strong here, right? He hates the works of the Nicolaitans. Because this is straight from the enemy. Because the enemy is attacking so that the churches cannot be built up. Right? All the members would not share their function, like the verses that we read last night. So many verses in the New Testament, Romans, Ephesians, everywhere. Colossians tells us we all have a measure. We all have a portion. We all need to grow up into Christ as the head. And this is really important for us to see. Amen. Let's go on to the church in Smyrna. So let's read these four verses together from verse 8 to verse 11 on the church in Smyrna. Yeah, Revelation 2. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulations, and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life."
Amen.
"He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The church in Smyrna, as we see, is the church under persecution. And they have much suffering. And in history, we see that under the persecution of Roman Empire, this begins from the latter part of the first century, where the church in Ephesus ends, and goes all the way to the early part of the fourth century, when finally Constantine the Great, he brought the church into his Roman Empire. But in between, the Roman Empire very much hated the Christians because they saw them as a threat to their empire. And so they persecuted very much the church during that time. Many were imprisoned and martyred, and this is very much a church that is under persecution and suffering. And so the Lord has much to love about this church. So he loves their, again, work, tribulation, and poverty. Yes, even though they were poor, but you see, in there is a parenthesis that says you are rich, right? They may be poor outwardly in material things, but praise the Lord, they are rich in their faith in the Lord.
Amen.
And therefore, they're willing to suffer all the persecutions. And over the years, we've been pointing out that we should not avoid sufferings and tribulations because these things are necessary for our perfecting. We don't necessarily pray for it, but they will come. But when they come, they really perfect our faith. If you notice countries that are under persecution, like in China, they love the Lord so much more. Right? In the U.S., we are so comfortable. We have sunshine, and we have the freedom to do everything. So we're very lukewarm. But in China, they cannot even have the Bible. They cannot meet corporately with freedom. And they really love the Lord desperately.
Yeah.
We really admire this. You know? And so it's really important for us to see that even during the persecution, the church prevailed. Right? And such is a wonderful testimony. And this suffering church is also in the midst of the synagogue of Satan. Because there were those who were Judaizers, of the Judaism, they were slandering even. So as if the Roman Empire's persecution was not enough, even the Jews were persecuting these believers. That's why it says these Jews are the synagogue of Satan. You know, when the Lord speaks things, he doesn't mince words. We wouldn't ever say that, you know. But the Lord speaking is like a two-edged sword. He calls it exactly what it is.
Amen.
Yeah, the synagogue of Satan. And the Lord commands them. And even says, the devil will test them and throw some of them into prison, but be faithful unto death.
Amen.
So we see that many of them were here, the church in Smyrna. They were under persecution, and they paid a big price for the Lord.
Amen.
And they became the strongest part of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the man-child. And they will be taken to the throne when the Lord comes back. Right? And the reward to them is that they will get the crown of life. Right? Yeah,
Amen.
Just like, remember Paul. Right? At the end of his life, he was also martyred. Before that, he says, I have the crown of righteousness. Right? Why do we need a crown? Because we are going to be kings to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Right? So, but Paul says, not only to him, but to all those who love the Lord's appearing. So may we be those who love the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
Now, if you ask me, what does the Lord hate in this church? I can't find much. I mean, they suffer enough. They even were martyred and persecuted and died for the Lord. I don't think the Lord has much to hate. So I put none here. Praise the Lord. And they will not taste the second death, but they will gain the crown of life.
Amen.
Let's go on to the church in Pergamos. Amen. Let's also read the verses on the church in Pergamos, Revelation 2, verses 12 to 17. 12 to 17. Amen.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name, and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells.
But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
Repent, or else I will come to you quickly,
and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Amen. To each of the churches, besides what the Lord loves and hates, the Lord also tells them who he is. And then also there is the reward. So there's really a lot to share. And we, again, we won't do that. But you all feel free to share if there's some verses you were touched with. But for the purpose of our fellowship, we just wanted to focus on what the Lord loves and what he hates. The church in Pergamos, the word Pergamos in Greek means a union or marriage. Yeah. And so what is this marriage? Now, you would think it's between Christ and the church, right? But as we see in history, it's not. It's actually a marriage between the church and the world. It's terrible. That's why a lot of negative things are here. This is a worldly church. And why is it? Because in history, we see that from the day Constantine the Great, he was a Roman Caesar. You know, the Caesar salad. Yeah, it's that Caesar. That Constantine, he accepted Christianity at the time, and he married so-called the church to his empire, the Roman Empire. And he made all the citizens members of the church. And even those who are not saved, he, quote, baptized them into the church. Just made them citizens. Everybody who is in the Roman Empire. And this is very evil. You know, this is Satan's strategy. If I can't kill them all and persecute them and imprison and the church still survives, okay, maybe I'll try something else. Right? Join them. Welcome. I'm part of you and you're part of me. This is really evil in the eyes of the Lord. Through Constantine's political influence, the church became a state church. And so, because of this, it became a monster. It became a great church. This was the first real mega church. It really dwarfs these mega churches today. There are, you know, everybody who is an American citizen is part of the church, whether you believe in the Lord or not. So there's all kinds of mixture. There are some verses I want to read to you. In Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, it says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. Mustard seed is like the smallest of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, a tree so big that even the birds of the air comes and nests on its branches. It's a monstrous tree. It's a humongous, gigantic tree. It's really out of character. And this is a picture of what has happened there in the church in Pergamos. And why does it say that in verse 13, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr who was killed among you where Satan dwells. It mentions Satan twice, where Satan's throne is, where Satan dwells. Well, where does Satan dwell today? He dwells in the world, right? This whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one, right? So when the church is married to the world, you're right in the midst of Satan's throne, right? That's really sad, right? And this is really something that we need to see, right? We need to be really be careful. Today, if we start to mix things in the world into the church, you know, many things that may seem so innocent and we just use them to gain people, eventually we bring Satan right in. And Satan sits on the front. Right? This is terrible. Right? This is what the Lord is saying to the church in Pergamos. Yeah. What the Lord loves, because among those, they were still those, among the church in Pergamos, there were still those who hold fast to the Lord's name. And they did not deny the Lord's faith. Even Antipas. Antipas in Greek means against all. It means he was a faithful witness of the Lord. And the word witness and the word martyr is actually the same. Yeah. So he became a martyr of the Lord. Yes. Today, the Lord needs us to be his faithful witness.
Amen.
That means we're willing to risk our life for the Lord. And in the midst of such a mixture, there were some who overcame. And they did not deny the Lord's faith. And praise the Lord. Again, they will be the man-child. They will be taken to the throne when the Lord comes. Now, what does the Lord hate? He hates that the church there holds the doctrine of Balaam. Okay, so now we need to see what is this doctrine of Balaam, right? Balaam was a Gentile prophet. And he worked for money, wages, right? And then he entices God's people into worshiping idols and eventually committing fornication. In Numbers chapter 25, we could see this. Balaam is mentioned in Numbers 23, 24. It's all over the place. If you have time later, you can go back. But let's, for the sake of time, turn to Numbers 25. And let's just read the first three verses. It'll give you a summary of how the Lord feels about him. Amen. Numbers 25, 1, 2, and 3. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove. And the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel.
Amen.
And then if we go to Numbers 31, one more verse to make it even more clear, verse 16. Numbers 31:16. Look, these women caused the children of Israel
through the counsel of Balaam, to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord.
Yeah, Balaam was not a prophet for God, at least not in the sense that we know. Right? He was a prophet for hire. That's why today we have to be very careful. Sometimes people will, for the sake of wages, they will tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
Or you can even tell them what you want them to say.
Right.
Yeah. I know a group in the Philippines. Every week they have a different pastor that comes.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, he gets an envelope and then he leaves. And then next week, another one comes. And whoever wants this pastor to share something, you know, they will give the envelope. So the pastor will say whatever it is that you want me to say. But this is really something that is not against the scriptural principle. I'm not saying that you can't serve the Lord, but the system of the doctrine of Balaam is something that we have to be very careful about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because this can be prevailing in the churches today. And we need to really be on guard. Because this is what the Lord tells us. Right? We need to love what the Lord loves. And at the same time, we need to hate what the Lord hates. Because one thing leads to another. Right? And you begin to worship idols, and then usually idolatry and fornication, they go together. The demon behind the idols will entice you to commit fornication. And in this case, God's people did with the women of the Moabites,
right,
and brought in all kinds of judgment and plagues among God's people.
Right.
We need to be very careful.
Oh,
in addition, it says, they hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Okay. Now remember, in the church in Ephesus, they hate the works of the Nicolaitans, right? But here, the works became the doctrine. That means it's fully developed, right? And in Ephesus, they just practiced it. But here, it becomes a set of teaching and full doctrine. And this hierarchy is exactly depicted by, unfortunately, the papal system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very clear from the scripture, if you have the eyes to see. You have the Pope, the cardinals, the bishops, and whatever.
Right?
And it's a hierarchy that is completely against God's principle.
Right.
God wants his people all to grow up into the head. Directly, right? If we have any problems, we need to go to the Lord. You know, many times the brothers will say, go to the Lord. We're like, no, I want you to tell me. We don't want to. We want you to go to the Lord, right?
Right.
Because otherwise, you always come back, oh, because you told me to. I'm not telling you anything, right? The Lord needs to speak to you, right? If the Lord speaks to you, then you have the confidence. It's from the Lord. Right? It's not from this brother, that brother, any brother. Right? Not from any cardinal or pope or bishop. We all need to really come to the Lord.
Yeah.
There are so many things here that the Lord hates, and we need to really be on guard.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord Jesus. You can see the progression of the church here. It's not like the songs of the ascent. Okay, this is like the opposite of the songs of the ascent. Okay, yeah, that's right, the descent. So let's continue, and we'll end with. Unfortunately, on my watch, I get to end with the church in Thyatira. What a portion. Let's read from verses 18 to the end of the chapter. Okay? Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to the end. Amen.
Into the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
So the church in Thyatira, historically, begins from the ordaining of the papal system, which is the latter part of the 6th century. And it continues until today. Yeah. It hasn't ended yet. It will end when the Lord comes. Right? Because if we got time, we're going to talk a little bit about this. The remaining four churches in Revelations 2 and 3, they all continue. And the church in Thyatira today, we see this. Roman Catholicism is still very much prevailing today. And many of you grew up Catholics. Right? This is the number one religion here in the U.S. Right? And many of you knew and knows by experience even many of the corruptions and of Roman Catholicism, right? And it's now open. Even the public knows about it. And so many things that's evil. And the Lord says they have many good works and services, which is true. Roman Catholicism, they have good works. They encourage good works because they say you need to get saved by works, right? So, yeah, it's the opposite of the gospel, which is a free gift, like we were sharing yesterday. But they say you have to earn it. So you have to do all these things. I don't really know what all they are, but I praise the Lord. I don't want to know. And then it says, her works in the last days are more than those in the first, which is true. Today, there are many more Roman Catholics today. Right? And they all have a lot of good works, a lot of services. But the Lord says, I have a few things against you. I think the Lord is being nice. If I was to say, I have many things against you, but the Lord was, I have a few things. When the Lord says a few things, we better sit down. Says he allow that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Who is this woman? This is not this woman. Okay? Yeah. In the Bible, there's always a contrast. There is the Lord, and then there is Satan. There is the proper church, and then there is the evil woman, Jezebel, right? Jezebel, he is a pagan wife of Ahab. And for the sake of time, let me just read the verses to you. You can jog down the references. It's in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 30 and 31. And I'll just read. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. So Ahab was not a good guy. And it came to pass as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonians. And he went and serve Baal, which is an idol, and worship him. This is the woman Jezebel. And this is very much seducing the Lord's people, again, to worship idols and to commit sexual immorality and fornication. And this woman is again mentioned when the Lord came and spoke in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, says, another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leaven. This is the mixture. Something that's of the Lord mixed in with anything that is not of the Lord. And that's, we call this leaven. Very serious. Like the worship of Mary. Where did that come from? This is a leaven, right? The Bible never tells us to worship the Virgin Mary. But you go into any Catholic church, it's huge, right? Well, first of all, Mary is not a virgin. We all know this. The Lord Jesus has brothers, right? And the Lord never told us to worship Mary. She's not the mother of God, right? She's just a mother. Right? So this is really evil. There are many, many other things. You go into any cathedral, they have images. Yes, they call it Saint Peter or Saint whoever. But the Lord says very clearly in the Bible, thou shalt not have any graven images. And even like an image of Jesus. That's not true. He doesn't look like that, right? Yeah. He is the image of the invisible God, right? And we all need to be conformed to his image. That's really all we need, right? We don't need an image, because behind that, there's an idol, right? There are so many idols. Yeah. It's really sad. This is really how the churches have fallen. And we need to really recognize this, okay? Now, I do want us all to turn to the big woman in Revelation chapter 17. One of the sisters was asking, when are we going to cover Babylon? Okay, now we're going to have a few minutes to do this. Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 to 6. Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 to 6. Let's read these verses together. And he carried me away
in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written,
Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
Amen. In history, we know that more Christians were martyred by Roman Catholicism than the Roman Empire or anything else put together. They drank the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. They were tortured, eaten by lions, all kinds of things. It's really evil, and it's prophesied already in the book of Revelation. It actually came to pass. This is a woman. This is that same woman, Jezebel, is now has become Babylon the Great. Right? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. That means there are daughters of harlots.
Right.
Yeah. And the abominations of the earth. It really depends on if you have the eyes to see.
Yeah.
If on the one hand, you say, oh, this is great. You know, it's wonderful. You go to Rome and wow. On the other hand, you realize, wow, that's Babylon. Mm-hmm. It's really this descriptive here in the Word. The Lord gave her time to repent, but she did not repent. So then the Word says, she will be cast, her with those who commit adultery with her, into great tribulation. Yes, that great tribulation is the great tribulation that we are talking about here. See, the Bible is very consistent. It never contradicts. And it continues today. And this is the judgment of Babylon. And this will occur during the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation. And it's a really serious thing. Let's read about this judgment in Revelation chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18. Let's read from verse 1 to 6. It will make it clear. Revelation 18, 1 to 6.
After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her.
Yeah. It's a double portion of judgment. This is a very serious thing. Right? Yeah. Babylon is full of it's a dwelling place of demons, and a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. After we had fellowship regarding Satan's rebellion, now you know where these things come from. Right? The demons, the fallen angels, the evil spirits, they are mixed in. Yeah, and it's really dangerous, right? and all the nations have drunk the wine of wrath of her fornication. Today, all the countries are forming union with Roman Catholicism, donating lots of money. They have a lot of money. They build all these really nice places. Lots of money in their bank account. It's really a fornication. It's well known in Italy. They even deal with the mafias. It's really sad how accurate the prophecy of the scripture is. But here is something that the Lord is saying, a voice from heaven, come out of her, my people. Many today are trapped under Catholicism. And we need to pray because they are the Lord's people. Right? They belong to the Lord. The Lord says, they are my people. Those who are genuinely saved and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are children of God. They belong to God. And even in such a midst of a corrupt church as Thyatira, there are still those who belong to the Lord. And the Lord's charge to them is, please come out. Come out as soon as possible. Because if you don't, you will suffer this judgment. Right? You will partake of her sins. And this is an extra judgment that is double portion. Right? And so this is very, very serious. Yeah, I don't want to end on such a note. There is a reward I want to share, just briefly, okay, just to get us back. The reward in Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. Let's read these two verses again. We read them earlier. Revelation 2, 26 and 27.
He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father.
Amen. And, yes, amen. So this is the wonderful reward to those who overcome. Okay? That they will be given power over the nations. Actually, it's over there. Yeah. And so they shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Amen.
Because these will be the overcoming believers who will be kings with the Lord in 1,000 years. And during this 1,000 years, besides the feasting, we will be ruling over the nations. Yes. And this is the reward. In each of the church, the Lord is speaking. He who hath an ear, let him hear. And they are overcomers that can overcome even in such degraded situation.
Amen.
Yeah, we really need to see this because this is really the situation of today's Christianity. And I don't enjoy sharing this, but it needs to be said because this is what's in the Bible, right?
Yes.
We don't add anything to the Bible, but we don't take away anything from the Bible. We have to speak the truth.
Right.
And expose all the system that God's people are trapped under. We don't hate God's people. Please do not misunderstand. We love all of God's children because we all are brothers and sisters. But we hate the system that's trapping God's people, that are enslaving God's people. And therefore, we need to pray with the Lord, come out of her, my people.
Amen.
And may we overcome and not fall into the doctrine of Nicolaitans and not have the teachings of Balaam and all these evil things that can creep into the church so easily. And don't let any worldly things come in. The world should have nothing to do with us. Well, we are transferred out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Right? The enemy should not have any ground here and any seat here in the church. And so may the Lord gain his victory among us.
Amen. Amen.